Not everyone is a fan of the word workout. As a matter of fact, the only workout some people get may fall on this list: running amok, jumping to conclusions, passing the buck, pointing fingers, climbing the walls, or my personal favorite, diddly squats. Now, I don't know if you've shaken hands with Charlie lately, but the man has a workout regimen that has buffed him up. I'm proud of him. Here's what he's been doing since January. He finds some space at his house, and he starts with a 5-pound potato sack in each hand, and he extends his arms, and he holds them out as long as he can. Each day, he tries to extend the time a little longer, holding them out. Then in March, he moved up to 10 pounds. He was progressing so well that by April, he moved up to 50-pound potato sacks in each hand out to the side. We got a picture of Charlie flexing for us. Look at that right there. So in April, he's up to 50-pound potato sacks, and he just got to the place, and you want to applaud, you should applaud this, to where he can lift a 100-pound potato sack in each hand and hold it in his arms for more than a minute. Let's hear that for Charlie, all right? I'm proud of him. But he needs to be careful, because the next step is to put some potatoes in each sack. I want to use a workout verse today that you're familiar with, but you may not be familiar with exactly what Paul is trying to get at. Through the years, we've strayed a little bit from the teaching of Romans 8:28. So I want to read it in two versions and two paraphrases. First of all, the version that we preach with, the New International Version says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." The version we grew up with says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose." J.B. Phillips' translation says this, paraphrase says, "Moreover, we know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good." And then the Message version, "That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something." Now, this is a verse that can bring comfort, but it's also a verse that can leave you scratching your head. The common interpretation of that verse takes us back to the way we started this message: everything going to work out. And the common interpretation goes like this: for those who love the Lord, everything is going to work out. I've heard it taught this way. Darkest hour means what? Dawn is just in sight. You hear it growing up in the church. Sometimes to look up, you got to be knocked down. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We're just pawns on the chessboard of life, and God will handle the next move. Don't worry. Be happy. Everything will come out in the wash. Is that how you read Romans 8:28? Let's be honest with each other. There are times in our lives when we have wondered about the truth of that verse. There may be times in your life where you're wondering about it right now. Is it really possible that God can take tragedy and sickness and cancer and calamity and death and all the predicaments we get ourselves into that aren't sickness or health issues, and God can take all of that misery and somehow make something good come from it? Dan Crawford was a missionary in Africa. I know Dan. Cool story. Him and his friends were returning to the field after a furlough in the U.S., and they're walking alongside a stream, and it's too big of a stream to get across. So all of a sudden, the river gets up, and they can't go any farther. So they make camp. They don't know how long they'll be there. So they start praying. Dan said they just prayed that God would make a way. Now listen to this. While they were praying, they heard something, and suddenly they looked, and a tall tree that was standing right beside the stream began to fall. And it fell across the stream, and it was big enough and wide enough for all of them in his mission group to walk across and get to the side where they needed to be. Now, what would the skeptic say about that? Tree's been there a long time. It's planted by water. Eventually, it was going to fall anyway, right? That's what the skeptic would say. It's interesting to me, the tree just happened to fall at the exact time they needed it and at the exact time they prayed for it. I mean, listen, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I think some people look to me like they have eyes and they just don't want to see. Listen what Dan Crawford said. I love this. The Royal Engineers of Heaven just built a pontoon bridge for God's servants to get across. That's how he viewed it. Whatever you make of Romans 8, it's clear that God wants to be involved in our lives. So I want to unpack this grand old verse from this grand old book in three layers. Number one, the promise of God. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That's the promise. The credibility of any promise is tied to the credibility of the person giving the promise, right? You promised your kids something over and over and over that you don't deliver on. It ain't long before they don't believe you anymore when you make the promise. So, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And I ask you, church, how many of them will God Almighty keep? Every single one, right? Over 7,000 verbal guarantees from the God of the universe, and when he says he'll do it, he will do it. The promise of God. Jayla, when she was little, my youngest, asked me if all fairy tales begin with once upon a time, and I told her, no, some begin with if elected, I promise. Thinking about promises brought to mind one of mine and Charlie's favorite stories. I wish, Stacy, I see you here. I wish Chase was here. He could give the punchline. This lady walks by a pet store, and there's a parrot in a cage, and the lady walks by, and the parrot immediately says, "Rock, hey, lady, you're ugly. You're so ugly." Well, she didn't like that one bit, but stupid bird, she just kept walking. Next day, she has to walk by the same store to go to work, and the bird sees her again, "Rock, hey, lady. You're ugly. You're so ugly." Well, she ignored it again. Third day in a row, she's going to work, and the bird has at it again. "You're ugly." Well, this time she's had it. She goes in to see the manager, and she says, "You need to do something about that rude bird, or I'm going to take some action." And he said, "Listen, lady, I promise you that bird will not insult you ever again. You have my word." Next day, she walks by, and the bird's quiet at first. Then as the woman's about to pass, the bird says, "Rock, hey, lady, you know." Well, we're talking about a promise not from a pet store owner, but from Almighty God. It's important to note that this verse doesn't say all things are working, but that God is working in all things. Because I got a lot of things in my life that ain't working. Always have had. Doesn't say all things are working. Afflictions and trials and persecutions and calamities. Some have even suggested sin could be put into this category. And I agree with that with one caveat. Be careful about that, because this verse isn't seen as grounds for believing that God will sort out every mess you've ever made without there being consequences. That's not what it's saying. But how many of you can testify this morning that God Almighty can take some ugly situations in our lives and bring some amazingly beautiful things from them? Amen? We had a little girl who would sing in my past church, my ministry there for, I think I was there 24 years before I came here, and now I've been here 12, and her name was Shannon, and people would say, "Mark, get Shannon to sing," and I didn't mind because she had a beautiful voice, but she would always sing the same song, which was cool too, especially when she was young, because you'll remember this song she sang. She sang, "He's still working on me," you familiar with that, "to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me." It's a good message. There's an adult version of that, different words, a different tune. But let's try it together today. How about this? Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I have to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. It may not feel like it right now, because I can tell you some stories looking around this auditorium of people who are in it right now, and it may not feel like it, but God Almighty can truly turn bones into armies. And God Almighty can turn seas into highways. And God Almighty can turn shame into glory. And God Almighty can turn graves into gardens. And what breaks my heart, and it truly does, is to see someone turn away from God because of the heartache they experience, when the truth is, he's the only one I know who can really help. I lose somebody I love. There's lots of people who step up to help me. The funeral director, who's been a friend of mine for years, will say, "Mark, let me help you with a service." And the church will bring food and love on me. And the preacher will try to find the right words. But let's face the truth this morning. In that situation, there's only one who can truly do anything about it. Only one. Because his promise is that in all things, he's working somehow, for my good. 7,000 promises in the Bible. I did a sermon series once called The Promises of God. There are over 7,000. That series lasted 22 and a half years. I didn't cover them all, but I identified them in categories, like the greatest promise in the Bible, Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in his glory in Christ Jesus. That's a great promise, isn't it? How about the most surprising promise in the Bible made to Abraham, who was 90 years old? "I'll surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore." How about the most practical promise? That's the one we're covering today. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. That's the promise of God. Now, here's the second layer. Who's the promise to? Ain't to everybody. It's to the people of God. Read the verse. This ain't to everybody. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called. Who's the promise for? Doesn't say God works for the good of those who hate him. Doesn't say God works for the good of those who are against him. This is a specific promise for a specific people. To those who love the Lord. The promise of God to the people of God. Not for every Tom, Jack, Bill, and Harry who has some sentimental philosophy that everything's going to work out. Specific promise to specific people. Many of you have read the writings of this man born in Ireland in 1898. Somebody tell me who that is. Very good. That is Clive Staples Lewis. He has written so many good books, many of which were required reading in college. And honestly, you should check out some of these today. I know some of you have already. Screwtape Letters, great book. Mere Christianity is a good book. The Great Divorce, Chronicles of Narnia are great. And C.S. Lewis said that he felt the death of his wife was the biggest test of his faith that he had ever been through. She died of cancer in 1960. And here's what he wrote. "Suppose someone hands you a rope and says, 'Do you trust this rope? Do you think it's strong?' If all you're going to do with the rope is tie up a box, you might say, 'I trust the rope.' But it's a different thing if you're going to have to hang over a building holding on to the rope. Now, how much do you trust the rope? When my wife died, it was a test. It was time for me to step up and prove, 'Hey, I really trust the rope.' If my faith had been shattered at that time, it would have proved all along I never had real faith." The promise of God to work in all things is for the people of God. Just as heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, this is a specific promise for a specific people, those who love the Lord and have been called by God. And don't make that more mystical or spiritual than it needs to be, because if you surrendered your life to Jesus, you have been called by God. We all know what a call is, right? I mean, we get them all the time. I should count sometime how many calls I get during the week. I'm curious. And you get called a lot too. There's different kinds of calls. There's prank calls. Anybody in here ever made a prank call? Let me see the hands of all you delinquents who have made prank calls. Get them up there and hold them up. I like you people. I want to see who I'm dealing with here. I hope you didn't use those old lame, remember the old lame prank calls back in the day? You'd call someone and say, "Is your refrigerator running?" That's lame. And they say yes, and you say, "Well, you better catch it." and then you hang up. How about Prince Albert in a can? Remember that one? You call a store and ask, do you have Prince Albert in a can? And they say yes, and you say, well, you better let him out. That's lame, too. Or you could do what I did to my mamma. Bless her heart. She was so awesome, but she was so gullible. And I took advantage of that, and I shouldn't have. I had her convinced once that I was trapped in a subway, and I was freaking out. And I was on the phone, and she freaked out, and she started yelling. And, I mean, she lost it. Before I could explain to her, it was closing time, and they had locked the door, and I was trapped in a Subway restaurant. She never stopped to think, we don't have Subways in Vivi, Indiana. The restaurant or the transportation. Prank calls, 911 calls. Get a log of some 911 calls sometime. People call for everything. A little kid called 911 to come and arrest his brother because he wouldn't share Legos. Pizza delivery guy called 911 because he couldn't get to his address because a defiant chicken wouldn't get out of the road. One Thanksgiving morning around 5 a.m., a lady called 911 because she needed help making a turkey. She was informed it's an emergency line, to which she responded, this is an emergency. Family's coming over today. And then a man called 911 because he got his head stuck in their cat's scratching post and the cat was stuck inside with him. That makes me want to puke. It's funny because they quoted the man talking to the cat while he was online saying, dude, this isn't fun for me either. I can't imagine anything worse than that. Prank calls, 911 calls, Mother's Day calls, Father's Day calls. Let me correct that. Father's Day collect calls. And the most important thing about a call is what? What's the most important thing about a call? The response. The response is the most important thing about any call. You've heard that those of us who serve in ministry have a calling. People say it with air quotes. I can go with that. Mine wasn't real spiritual if you want to hear about it sometime. But listen, every person who has surrendered to Jesus, when Paul writes of those who are called, he's talking about those who have heard the message, accepted the gospel through faith in Christ. Those are the called of God. And if you've answered the call, it makes you part of the people of God, and that means the promise is for you. Specific promise for a specific people. There's a third layer. It talks about the purpose of God. We know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him. That's the promise. And to the people. And are called according to his purpose. God always has a purpose and a plan. And that helps me to understand what this verse means. When I'm at my son-in-law's funeral and a young lady is baptized right after the service is over. Or I see an entire family join me in the baptistry after they just lost their young son to leukemia a week prior. When we're going through some of life's difficulties, it's so cotton-picking hard for us to tell if anything good could ever come from this. I can't be the only one with painful experiences where I thought something was really going to be really, really bad, and it was bad, but then in the end, looking back, I'm like, man, I'm not glad it happened. I wish it hadn't have. But when it did, here's what God did for me. And I'm not the only one, I bet, who's prayed, Lord, give me this. And 10 years later, I'm thanking him that he didn't answer me. I'll be honest, and I don't know how many of my weaknesses and failures and faults I should confess to you all. Seems like I do a boatload of that as we go anyway. I don't have the discernment to know in any situation if this is good or bad. I know how it feels to me, but I don't know. I'm an after-the-fact guy to determine whether or not I saw good or bad. It's like the two guys are walking along, and one says, hey, did you hear what happened to Harvey? And the other one said, no, what happened? He said, well, he fell out of an airplane. I said, well, that's bad. Well, no, he had a parachute on his back. Oh, that's good. No, the parachute wouldn't open. Well, that's bad. No, there was a haystack underneath him. Well, that's good. No, there was a pitchfork in the haystack. No, that's bad. No, he missed the pitchfork. Well, that's good. No, he missed the haystack too. I mean, I don't know. Falling out of an airplane seems bad. Sometimes the events of life are bad. There's no question about it. But man, can they springboard us into some good things. Take last year. I think we would all agree, no matter where you're at in the politics of it the masking or the vaccinations, we would all agree that a pandemic is bad. I say it's bad. Well, okay. In reflection, I've had some perspective. Because of COVID, we had to quarantine and stay home. But because of COVID, we got to spend more time with our families than most of us ever do. Because of COVID, we weren't able to gather and pass offering plates. But because of COVID, we were able to provide other means to give, and the gracious spirit of this church stepped up and kept us going as if we hadn't missed a beat. Because of COVID, we were pushed to develop streaming for our services, which means some people would get in the habit of having church in their fuzzy slippers and their Captain America PJs and their bowl of soggy Fruity Pebbles. And some are still in the habit of doing that. But because of COVID, we now have a small church meeting in New Jersey with us every Sunday at 10:30. Hey, y'all, we baptize people from Palmyra to Georgia. What it says to me is that the purpose of God will not be stopped by a worldwide pandemic. And I shouldn't be surprised by that, because Peter, when he confessed who Jesus was, said, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response to him was this, after changing his name, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Church will go on. Church will move on. God will make sure that the church will move on. I know it's not the most exciting testimony in the world. I've dealt with this all my life. I go to church camp, and these kids will talk about growing up in a broken home and dealing with things that I never did because I grew up in church. So it's not a glorious, exciting testimony, but I should not have to apologize for that blessing. But from time to time, I'll hear someone say they don't go to church now because they were forced to when they were young. If you say that and think, of all the faulty reasoning in the world, that's got to be up there near the dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't go to church now because I was forced. I didn't want to go to church when I was a kid. I was forced to go. I was forced to go to every time they had a service. 2-week revivals, 2-week VBSs, Sunday morning, Sunday night. My dad would preach an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday night. You're supposed to make it short on Sunday night. There were other things I had to do, forced to do when I was a kid. I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to brush my teeth. I didn't want to take a bath. I didn't want to share with my brothers. Didn't want to go to the doctor. And here I am, 60 years old. Guess what? I want to go to church, and I want to brush my teeth, and I want to take a bath, and I want to share with my brothers, and I want to go to the... No, I don't want to go to the doctor. My illustration just fell apart, didn't it? My life would be empty and incomplete without the Lord and His church. One of the coping mechanisms God gives us as He's working for the good for His people is the fellowship of the church. Micah and I had a discussion months ago about good and evil. And there's truth to the thought that had there been no bad, good couldn't fully be realized. Now, don't let this knock you off your chair. I mean, don't think too hard. It's like with inventions. Had there not been a problem to solve, we'd never know of specific solutions, right? I'll give you an example. Earl Dixon was a cotton buyer for Johnson & Johnson back in 1920. He was on the road a lot, and his wife, Josephine, she would stay home whenever he traveled for business. She constantly was cutting herself, not on purpose. She was just accidental that way. Would cut herself, would burn herself, just kind of a thing with her. And he always worried about her. When he was home, he would take care of her cuts with a roll of surgical tape, and he'd bandage her wounds. But the 3-inch wide rolls of surgical tape and large bandages in the 1920s required 2 hands to put them on. So he was certain his wife couldn't do it by herself, and he was worried about her, but he had to leave. So he cut part of a 3-inch wide surgical tape into 1-inch strips, laid them on a kitchen counter, sticky side up, and then he put some small squares of gauze in each, leaving sticky tape on both ends. Now, if she cut herself while he's gone, she can apply it to the injury herself. At a party, Josephine mentioned what Earl had done to the company president, James Johnson, and in 1924, Johnson & Johnson added Band-Aids to their line of products, and it's one of their top sellers even today. We know what the solution is because there was a problem to solve. So let me testify to you this morning that in the darkest hours of my life, and they have been few and far between, but they have been there. When they've come, at some point, the light of God shone most brightly for me. Because I think the brightest light is always seen in the darkest dark. Doesn't that make sense? The brightest light is seen in the darkest dark. January of this year, we said goodbye to a great man. I wish you all could have known him. His name was Sam Stone. Sam has 2 sons, Jeff Stone, who took my place in Bright, Indiana when I came to Hillcrest 12 years ago. Dave Stone, who was a roommate of mine in college that preached at Southeast until he recently retired to do some other things. Wonderful family, Sam and these 2 boys, Jeff and Dave, but the glue of the family was Gwen. I was in their home quite a bit, and you've never met a sweeter lady than Gwen Stone. You can just see it on her face. Honestly, kind of reminds me of Karen Johnson. Just sweet and unassuming and so kind. And that was Gwen Stone. When Dave was 5 years old, he came into the room and Gwen was reading a letter from her brother. It'd be Dave's uncle. It seemed they had found that her brother had cerebral palsy and he could no longer walk. So she's reading the letter, and she's crying, and 5-year-old Dave comes into the room and said, "What's wrong, Mom?" And she said, "It's your Uncle Greg. Doctor said he won't walk again." And little Dave said, "Never?" And she said, "No, honey, not ever." And then Dave said, "Not even in heaven?" And she said, "No, honey, he'll be able to walk in heaven." And then 5-year-old Dave said, "Well, I guess we'll just have to wait till then." Listen to me. Things are difficult, look difficult, seem hopeless, look impossible, and maybe we'll just have to wait. But I know God means what he says and he keeps his promises, and that includes this one. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Every time I'm in need of a workout, my God comes and works it out. Amen?